The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now as Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is our teacher. Amen. What a story this Mary and Martha story is. We have a dinner party for the Son of God. That's the setting. We have a stressed out hostess. We have sibling rivalry. We have Martha doing what we call triangulating, when you're mad at one person, but you go to the other person to talk about it and see if they'll get stirred up inside of it. We also have Martha telling Jesus what to do. She says, "Tell her then to help me." And we have Mary. Well, let's take a bit of a closer look at what Mary's doing. There's only one sentence that tells us what she's actually doing. It says she's sitting at the Lord's feet and listening to what he's saying. But if we consider when and where she lived, we could call her sitting and listening revolutionary. She was a woman in first century Palestine. And you know why Martha had no problems telling Jesus that Mary needed to be helping her? Because Martha knew that everyone knew that Mary belonged with her in the kitchen. That was her part to play. You know who belonged at Jesus' feet? Being students and listening and being waited on? Men who didn't have to be out working somewhere else. So Mary's choice to not be a servant that day was more than just an annoyance to her sister. It was a revolt of sorts. And I have no idea if Mary thought this through and boldly decided that she would break gender roles that day. I only know that she is not where she was expected to be. So let me ask you, where do people expect you to be? Have you ever felt or been told outright that you do not belong at the feet of Jesus? That you do not belong in the church or with her Christ? I have heard it all these last few weeks. And I've heard it from every direction, and I think the most painful stuff I've heard in the last few weeks comes from Christians at Christians. I have read the most exhausting, I guess I'm physically and spiritually exhausted by the divisions that we're drawing, this us and them, right and wrong stuff. I find myself physically tired when I read it and watch it and can't quite get away from it. I have read the most hateful things from Christians to Christians. And I don't care if you are a conservative Christian or a liberal Christian, and even using those political titles here is a problem, but I'm not sure how we talk about it here and make sense if we don't have some sort of labels. But I'm not talking about disagreement. Disagreement is holy. Faithful conversations meant to find a truer truth That's holy work. It's hard, and it takes humility and confession and forgiveness. What I'm reading and watching and hearing is just vitriol in the name of Jesus. Seriously, has anyone ever told you that you do not belong at the feet of Jesus? Listening to what he is saying, because if they have said that to you or made you feel that way, they are wrong. If they have said, well, you can be here, but you should probably sit over there or wait outside or arrive at a certain time and in a certain manner, then they are wrong. If they have said, you can have a seat at the feet of Jesus, but only if you're dripping with the appropriate amount of shame when you get there, they are wrong. If they have said, you can come over here by the feet of Jesus with us, but only after you notice how nice it is of us to let you join us, they are wrong. Because you belong at the feet of Jesus, listening to what he is saying. Jesus says of Mary that she has chosen the better part, that it is better to believe that you have a place with Jesus, right up close, listening to what he has to say. It doesn't say what Jesus was saying that day. But Jesus' whole life speaks to us, and this is what Jesus' life says to you. I love you. God loves you. Your life matters. Jesus' life says this to the world. God loves the world. And that includes you. And the way that God has chosen to love you is in showing up in this baby named Jesus, living a miraculous life, showing you who God really is, healing people, pulling people in from the margins. And then when we couldn't take that kind of message or that pure of a love, we killed him. But God's love for you is stronger than evil. It is more powerful than death. And God was not done being in relationship with you through Christ. So God raised Jesus from the dead. Because that's what God does. And your ears are meant to hear that God loves you. Your tongue is meant to taste that God loves you. Your eyes are meant to see that God loves you. Your skin was meant to feel that God loves you. The expectations that other people place on your life, they are not heavier than Christ's invitation to sit at his feet and listen to everything that he is saying. Because you belong at Jesus' feet.